The Baroque period, 1600 to 1750. One might well ask, what does Baroque mean? And that would be a good question. Baroque is a French word meaning bizarre or grotesque. Now you might ask, who in the world would name a musical time period with some of the world's most beautiful music the bizarre period or the Baroque, and why? Well, historians are people too. They're not too much different than we are. We look at our parents and think, oh, they're so old-fashioned, the way they do things. Their music is old-fashioned, and we laugh at their silly jokes, and we make jokes about that. And we look at their old yearbooks and their pictures, and we say, look at those hairdos, isn't that a hoot? And that's probably how the Baroque period got its name. It received its name from the historians who lived in the Classic period that followed the Baroque. They looked back on the music of their parents and grandfathers and thought, this is a hoot. This is so embellished and so overdone, so bizarre. We are much more refined with much better taste. And so that's probably how the Baroque period got its name. The Baroque period covers the years from 1600 to 1750, which is about 150 years. This period is a little shorter than the Renaissance period, and a lot shorter than the Middle Ages musical period, which lasted nearly 1,000 years. One of the reasons the time periods began getting shorter is because things were changing. Just like today, things are changing at an even more rapid pace with our advanced communication systems, telephone, computer, radio, and TV. And that is a reason why ideas and styles began changing more rapidly in the Baroque. Kingdoms began to consolidate and grow larger, which led to improved roads and safer travel conditions. This made travel and trade and communication between countries and peoples easier and faster. Listen very carefully to the things we discuss in this tape. At the end, there will be a short quiz. Listen carefully and try to remember as much as you can. Our discussion of the Baroque will center around three categories: historical events that occurred between 1600 and 1750, musical trends, and famous composers of the Baroque. Now, back to historical events. The first historical event that we will talk about occurred in the year 1611. In this year, King James of England had the Bible published in the English language. Now, this is important, not only from a religious standpoint, but also from an educational standpoint. It helped to standardize the English language. It also is evidence of people's increased desire to learn. Art thrives only among an educated people. It takes education to fully understand and appreciate it. People were eager to read and experience things for themselves. The second historical event that we will talk about occurred in 1666. A man named Isaac was sitting under a tree. An apple fell down. He picked it up and coined the law of gravity. Now, it really wasn't that simple, but in the year 1666, Isaac Newton did publish his theories on the law of gravity, once again showing people's desire to discover and learn during this important period of time, once again preparing the way for a more cultivated art and music. The third historical event that occurred during the Baroque period and helped give shape and direction to music was the reign of King Louis XIV. King Louis helped set the styles and tastes of the Western world for nearly a century. These were the days of powdered wigs, highly decorated buildings, highly decorated women, and highly decorated men. We see pictures of George Washington, King Louis, and others in their silk stockings, ruffles, and powdered wigs, and think, what in the world brought these men to dress like this? Well, King Louis XIII was beginning to lose his hair. He wanted to be known as Louis the Great, not Louis the Bald, so he decided to start wearing a wig. Now, no one in the king's court wanted to make the king feel conspicuous, So they all quickly donned wigs upon their pates. Soon people outside the castle walls saw a new trend. They didn't know why they were wearing wigs. It just looked good, and they thought, these wealthy people in this castle are doing it, so we're going to do it because we want to look the same and just as good as they do. So they jumped on the bandwagon, rushed down to the nearest wig store, and found themselves a wig. Wigs were in, for a while, that is. When Louis XIII died, his son, Louis XIV, came into power. Louis XIV was young, brave and handsome, with chestnut curls flowing down to his shoulders. He didn't want to hide his beautiful chestnut locks under a powdered wig, so wigs went out in a hurry. Business was bad for wig makers, until Louis XIV began losing his hair. Then, just as his father before him, Louis XIV put on a wig. He started up the old-fashioned trend, and it went around the world. All was well again in the wig shops, until Louis XVI lost his wig and his head on the guillotine. Wigs never came back in fashion for men. What does this have to do with music? A lot. Louis not only decorated his head, but everything else as well. With his vast wealth, he lent great support to the arts. And of course, the arts in France catered to Louis's taste. He was the one that paid the bills. And what was Louis's taste? He liked lots of graceful ornamentation, elegance, and refinement. And so, much of the music of the day was gracefully ornamented and refined. We will discuss more of that later. Thus far, we have talked about three historical events: the translation of the Bible into English in 1611, Isaac Newton's law of gravity in 1666, and the graceful elegance and fashion-conscious Louis XIV, who gave direction to much of the arts in the Baroque period. Now, let's talk about the music of the Baroque period. First, let's discuss musical trends and styles. Lots of new and exciting things were happening musically in the Baroque period. We will discuss several of these musical trends and styles, but by no means will we be able to, in 1/2 hour, discuss all of them. The first musical trend we will discuss is ornamentation. We have already discussed the historical Baroque trend to decorate everything. Remember, that is how the Baroque period, or Bizarre period, got its name. They decorated their clothes with ruffles, their heads with powdered curls, and their buildings with ornate designs. Crystal chandeliers hung from the ceilings. Music was no different. You might ask, how in the world can you decorate music? Music exists in the air, in our minds. It isn't something you can sew a ruffle to. You can't powder the notes. But you can decorate the melody with a trill. They decorated it with other variations on the trill called mordants, grace notes, appoggiaturas. Let's listen to a piece by Jean-Philippe Rameau. First, we'll listen to a few measures without any embellishments. Then we will listen to it again with added ornaments and embellishments. This piece is called The Egyptian. First, without the ornaments. Now listen to the same piece with ornaments. Listen carefully and count all the trills and other embellishments that you hear. At the conclusion, I will ask to see how many you heard. Thank you. How many did you hear? There were 31 embellishments. There is form to just about everything. There is form to a building, to a car, to a fence. It is the form that helps us to distinguish a chair from a couch. Yet even among chair forms, there are lots of different kinds of chair forms. There is a kitchen chair, a desk chair, a Victorian chair, and the list can go on and on. Music is no different. It has forms and styles too. Instead of calling them chairs or tables, they have their own names like fugue, passacaglia, musette, gavotte, binary. By naming these forms and styles, we can discuss and appreciate them more easily. Perhaps the most popular Baroque forms were dance forms. Lest we think these dance forms are old-fashioned, remember that much of the popular music written in our time period are dance forms too. Jazz, disco, rock, break, jitterbug, Charleston, there are all kinds of things. All have their own beat and style. Some of the popular dances of the Baroque period were the minuet. Then there was the march, too. The lively jig. And the stately sarabande. There were many others, too. Many of these pieces were written in the binary form. Bi means two, as in bicycle. Bi, two wheels, as opposed to tri, three wheels, tricycle. When we speak of a bi or binary form, we're talking about a two-part form. For example, we have a melody we call A. A sounds like this. Then we repeat section A a second time. Once section A has been played twice, we are ready to go on to the second section, which we will call section B. Section B in our song happens to sound like this. Then section B is also sung or played a second time. All put together, we have a song in two parts, with each part played twice. This is called binary form. Played together without interruption, our binary form sounds like this. Section A is repeated. B. Repeated. That was a delightful piece from the Anna Magdalena Bach notebook. It is called Musette. Another very popular form of the Baroque was the fugue, spelled F-U-G-U-E. A fugue is a kind of complicated round. You may have sung a round before, such as Row, Row, Row Your Boat. In a round, everyone sings the same melody, but starts the melody at a different time. The same thing happens with a fugue. You start with a melody or a subject. The subject is then repeated, perhaps on a different pitch. It may come back in a third or fourth time. A fugue also has additional melodies added. The additional melodies may be the original subject turned upside down or played backwards. This is what makes a fugue different from a round. Altogether, it sounds something like this. That was a portion of Bach's Fugue in C minor. Playing a melody and then repeating it in a different voice or hand is a compositional device that is called imitation. Imitation was a favorite compositional device used by Baroque composers. Another favorite compositional device was sequence. Sequence means a following of one thing after another, a related or continuous series. You can have a sequence of numbers such as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 3, 5, 7, 9, 11. You can also have a sequence of melody. If you were to take a tiny melody such as, and if you were then to play that melody three times, with each repetition of the melody being a little lower, like this, you would have a musical sequence. Let's do that again. We'll start with a melody, play it three times, with each repetition being a little higher this time. And you have another sequence. These two sequences were taken from a jig, which was a popular dance piece that was very energetic. This jig was by Johann Sebastian Bach, the great composer of the Baroque period. The jig was written in binary form, although we will only listen to section A. It is composed almost entirely using imitation and sequence. Bach starts with a melody played in the right hand. Then, using imitation, he repeats it in the left hand. Then he adds more imitation and more sequence before finishing section A of our binary form. Let's listen to the jig now. Listen carefully and see if you can count how many times Bach used sequence in this example. Thank you. many sequences did you count? 1, 2, 3. Bach used sequence 5 times in that jig. Let's learn one more compositional device of the Baroque period. It is called pedal. That was a pedal. You have seen a pedal on your bike or a pedal on the piano. What does a little bit of music have to do with pedal? Well, besides pedals on your bike, there are also pedals on an organ. And many times, an organ composer of the Baroque period would play one pedal and hold it for a long time while playing something else on the keyboards. For example, if we take the pedal we just played on the keyboard and then add these notes above it, did you hear the bottom bass note throughout that? That was called a pedal. That was a prelude by Bach. Now on the piano or the harpsichord, you can't sustain a note very long. Once a note is played, it dies away. To overcome this deficiency on the piano or the harpsichord, a composer would play the note over and over. Can you remember a piece that you've listened to on this tape that used a repeated note or a pedal? Yes, the Musette from the Anna Magdalena Bach notebook used a pedal or a repeated note. The Musette is a French bagpipe which was popular during Bach's time. Instead of calling a bagpipe, they called it a Musette. The title Musette was given to the dance pieces using the drone bass sound that is typical of a bagpipe. This drone bass sound is called a pedal in music. Listen to the A section again of the Musette. Listen for its use of the pedal. Did you hear the use of the pedal? In review, we have discussed ornamentation, such as trills. We've discussed musical forms, such as the dance forms jig, musette, minuet, march. We have also discussed the fugue form, which is like a complex round, and binary form, which is a two-part form, with each part being repeated. There were also 3 compositional devices used by Baroque composers that we studied. Sequence, which is the repetition of a melody, with each repetition being higher or lower than the original. Imitation, which is repeating the melody in a different voice or a hand. And pedal, which is a repeated or sustained note in the bass. The last section we will discuss, before we have our little quiz, is the composers of the Baroque. There are other tapes that you can listen to study the lives and works of the composers we will mention here, and so we will not go into great detail other than to make you aware of some of the musicians who were famous in their day. There were many fine composers of the Baroque period, some good ones, a few great ones. In Italy, there was Alessandro and Domenico Scarlatti and Antonio Vivaldi. In France, there was Jean-Philippe Rameau and King Louis XIV's court composer, Lully. He was very famous in his day, yet now we seldom hear his works. In England, there was Henry Purcell. In Germany, there was Schütz, and of course, the 2 great composers of the Baroque period, Bach and Handel. These 2 great composers were both born in the same year, 1685, in the same country of Germany. Yet they never met each other. Handel was very famous, while Bach was little known outside his own country during his lifetime. Bach and Handel are probably the 2 most famous and well-known composers of the Baroque in our day. And now we're ready for the quiz. After I ask each question, you may want to pause the tape for a moment to give yourself time to answer before going on to the next question. Question number one. Who were the two most famous composers of the Baroque period? Question two. What does Baroque mean? Question three. We discussed three historical events that occurred during the Baroque period. Name at least two of those events and tell how each affected the music of the day. Question four. What is a pedal in music? Question five. What is a sequence in music? Question six. What is imitation in music? Question 8. Is binary form a two-part form or a seven-part form? Question 9. Listen to the following piece of music and tell whether it is a fugue or a musette. Question 10. How could you tell the music you just listened to was a fugue or a musette? Well, how did you do on the quiz? If you were able to answer all the questions correctly, you're a very good listener. If you missed more than one, you may want to listen to this tape again until you can answer all the questions correctly.